The Around the NFL Podcast is a solid third-round draft pick.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
The 2016 NFL Draft is in the books. It ended, I would say, approximately 40 minutes ago with a cornerback, Kalen Reed, going to the Titans with the 253rd and final pick, Mr. Irrelevant. So now we sift through the wreckage.
Lot to get to. I mean, the Titans, who you used to call the Titans, but are they officially out of the Titan territory?
Because depends them take you come at
because right. Them taking Mr. Irrelevant, you could argue, is fitting. But I think Chris Wessling, for one, likes what they did on draft day.
Love what they did, and right now they would be my nomination for Team of ATL.
Wow!
Whoa.
I'm gonna zag while everyone else is zigging to the Jaguars. They're gonna be too trendy.
They definitely will be beyond trendy. They'll just be expected to make the playoffs at this point, which is a dangerous place to be. But I'm not going to let the world loving the Jaguars get in the way of me enjoying watching that team come together and rooting for that team.
How about Sessler?
I still think they're an option.
Sessler, who's been on the Jaguars train for year after year waiting for this moment, is it going to be upsetting to you that everyone else is now joining? Or are you going to possibly jump off because now the bandwagon's going to fill up?
I am not going to jump off that bandwagon for a bandwagon being steered and engineered by Mike Mularkey. I like the Titans too, but
that's
a very concerning element, and I think that they've got a great quarterback.
Absolutely.
Let's start there.
It's fair, but no matter how you feel about Mike Mularkey, I think it's promising that they are drafting to fit what he does.
Well, one thing I've liked about the team of ATL, and we'll get into this later in the offseason and whatnot, I like watching the teams play a couple times in week one and two before we decide. You got to see what they look like on the field. We don't need,
We'll be picking a team of ATL in like late November if it follows suit.
You'll end up with the Chargers.
A lot to get to, guys. We on our last show, we dug into the first round, the first 31 picks of the draft went down, and now we will go through the rest of the draft. Seven rounds, a lot of stuff to get to, but I guess a good place to start, and it does. This was a tough draft for a New York Jets fan. I gotta say this was not.
This is where we're starting.
This is where
Shocking.
We're gonna start with the show, because if we're talking about the most compelling storylines, day two and three, the Jets taking Mr. Hackenberg with the 51st overall pick.
Said his name with disdain.
Is, to me,
it's up there. It's one of them.
It's definitely up there as one of the most compelling storylines, because let's face it, when the Jets have this quarterback issue, it's been lingering through the offseason. It's been very annoying as a Jets fan, this Fitzpatrick charade that's been going on for months and months. And this was the latest grenade lob from Big Mac, Magic Mike, Mike Maccagnan. He said, I'm not waiting for you. I'm going to go get this guy, Christian Hackenberg. Penn State had a really good freshman year where everybody thought he was the next big thing, and then had two mediocre seasons where he got pummeled, apparently, behind a terrible offensive line that was filled with converted defensive linemen and things of that nature.
#narratives.
Yeah, his numbers were not good at all. And just to give you, the Jets got killed for the pick. It's fun. It's fun for people in this room, people in the newsroom, people on Twitter, to get on the Jets for blowing drafts, because the Jets have blown so many in the past. And Hackenberg was the perfect, even his name, Hackenberg. It's the perfect type of guy that you could see being a massive bust that ruins Mike Maccagnan's career. But I choose to have a little bit of hope.
One pick would be hard to ruin.
It's a well, listen,
one pick.
Well, it's a quarterback, yeah.
When you have a quarterback, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the mix pretty quickly, I would think, whether it's this year or next. So my initial thoughts were, geez, they went with a second-round pick on a quarterback when they had so many other needs, and it's this guy that's a polarizing guy. It spooked me as a Jets fan who they've taken quarterbacks year after year for a decade, by the way, and they never seem to hit on the guy. But we say this, Greg, we say this in this room all the time, like the pick or not, you keep on picking a quarterback until you finally found one. So Big Mac did that. So should we really be killing him for it?
Who? I don't think they've gotten routinely killed. It was more just like, wow, this is interesting. And wow, it's the guy I think that was going to get killed wherever he went. People did not like Christian Hackenberg. When they put up the positives and negatives from NFL Network, and the negatives are game film. That's a bad sign. I mean, they showed some of his passes, and what DJ said that really stuck out to me, he said, you know, you can talk about the protection and all that. He misses wide open throws by big margins. He did that in his pro day. He did that in different areas where they just didn't think he was accurate, that he was pegging guys on the sideline like it was Colin Kaepernick.
I think the negative thing, beyond even Hackenberg, whoever quarterback they picked at that spot, whether you liked him or not, is that the immediate reverb was, oh, suddenly this potential two-year deal for Fitzpatrick or whatever it would have been has now been trimmed to a one-year deal, if anything. And when we were texting, you know, Dan's immediate reaction was, I need to take a walk, and I get that. Because
I had to clear my head. I had to figure out what was going on here because I still remember having a quarterback that set the Jets' record for touchdowns a couple months ago, and now they seem to be moving on without him or putting him in a position where, hey, buddy, if you want to come back, 1 year, maybe $8 million, which is backup quarterback money, even though you just had one of the best quarterback seasons ever in franchise history. It has gotten to that point, and that toxic, I think, between the two sides. So now I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, and the problem is, and this is what we were discussing, you know, away from anything that we printed yesterday, was you have a quarterback room now that has Geno Smith, who potentially shouldn't even be on the team if they had another quarterback. Right? You have Bryce Petty and Hackenberg. And there's the complete absence of that veteran that can say, this is what the NFL's even about. Here's what we even do in these meetings. It's a group of complete, you know, naive. So it'd be concerning.
Greg had an idea to rank the most poisonous quarterback rooms. I thought that was a good one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That came from Greg?
Yeah.
Surprising.
Well, it wasn't inspired by the Jets at all. It was inspired by Brian Hoyer just agreeing to terms with the Bears. I feel like the Hoyer-Cutler matchup, that would have to rank number one.
That's nefarious.
Bradford Wentz has to be right up there.
Bradford and the Eagles.
And that, Chase Daniel celebrating. Right.
That's in the
He's
top.
He's just playing peacemaker the whole time.
That's in the top three. But whether you get Fitzpatrick back there or not, it is problematic right now that Geno Smith is your starter. And I like Geno Smith, but
wait,
I don't.
Wait. You set that up in a flawed way.
What?
If Ryan Fitzpatrick is back, Geno Smith is gone.
I said right now Geno Smith is their starter. Ryan Fitzpatrick reportedly was so upset with the previous offers that he was considering sitting out football instead of playing.
Did you buy that?
I didn't necessarily. I don't know. I buy that Ryan Fitzpatrick bought it and that he believed it in his heart.
Well,
at
and
that
McCagnan
moment.
Said that about Geno yesterday.
Right. And McCagnan said, Geno is our starter right now. And they made it clear they want to bring Fitzpatrick back. They don't want any other veterans. They want to bring Fitzpatrick back, but it's at their money. And who knows? Maybe he'll really just make a stand. And then you're going through the offseason with Geno Smith, Bryce Petty, and Christian Hackenberg as your quarterback. And I like Geno, but that is problematic if you're a Jets fan.
Late Never on the drop. Good. A little late on the drop there. You got to be quicker.
Oh, no. Oh, watch out.
Oh, right on the interstate.
Why would, by the way, with this drop, which is problematic as well, why would a jet crash like a car?
Well,
it's an excellent point. It's a logical point Dan has
raised. You could figure it out if you really thought about it.
A cartoon car, by the way. You could figure it out.
I look at the end of that crash, like single little pieces are landing on the ground.
Never a good sign when QB1 will either start or be released.
Right, exactly.
It's like
the Charlie Fry situation. I think the Jets can be fine with Geno Smith. I think the difference between him and Ryan Fitzpatrick is minimal, potentially. I really do believe that. I think
you are the biggest Geno Smith fan in the world.
But you just brought back Charlie Fry. That's dire.
I think the Jets believe that, or else they would have offered Ryan Fitzpatrick a better contract at some point. A
couple more things, and then we'll move on. Number one, those terrible combine workouts and the pro day or whatever, where his throws are bad. They said that they got to redo this guy's mechanics because he took such a beating at Penn State that they got all out of whack. So they got to restart. They got to restart with him. And if you believe in Chan Gailey, which I think people should believe in him as a quarterback guy after what he just did with Ryan Fitzpatrick, maybe he gets him fixed. And then one other thing I'll say is that Todd McShay 1 year ago had Hackenberg projected as the number one overall pick in this draft. I'm just saying, before everyone jumps to the idea that the Jets took a bum, he perhaps will be. History tells us he
Did
will be a bum.
Did you jump to that idea?
I never made any judgments about it other than I needed to think about it.
Hey, here's another guy. Todd McShay had number one overall on his board going into senior year. Javon Sneed.
How about that? How about Matt?
It doesn't matter.
Matt Barkley too. Cardale Jones. Like these guys, sometimes if you stay that extra year, your stock plummets.
My point is nobody knows anything. We'll see what happens. I'm a little spooked about it, but I'm a hopeful Jets fan. I always have been, and I hope maybe he's the guy to break the streak. Rich Cimini, good line. Jets still waiting for their second cup of Joe, franchise quarterback.
I do like that they're drafting someone every year. That's not a big deal. You know who's drafted more quarterbacks than anyone in the last 15 years?
Ted
New England
Thompson.
Patriots.
Oh, yep.
With Tom Brady.
They took
a third-round pick. It's not the end.
Well, they're basically just hiring people to, like, mop up the kitchen floor and stuff. They'll never see the field. We know that.
I'll tell you what, though. I ain't getting on the Geno coaster. If that's how it does play out, I will be very angry.
That'll be weird. I'll be rooting for the Jets, and Dan won't.
I wouldn't quit on the team, but I would be very angry.
On to the Around the NFL podcast.
Wow.
Well, Wes, by the way.
It's just a joke.
Wes, off the
just
beach.
Just a joke.
He didn't even work with us today.
You know,
you're welcome for coming in on my off day.
I'm so blessed. Wes, listen. This was a big day.
I came in for the Jets podcast.
Big storyline in the draft. That's all.
I'm just making a joke.
You don't even have a team. We couldn't go to yours.
You're right.
All
32 of them are my babies.
He's just making a joke.
All right, let me go with the team that will get Wes angry. The Dallas Cowboys.
I'm kind of on the Cowboys. They got rid of Hardy. Pick up a backup.
You're back in?
Roll in, well, roll out, whatever really, pleases was, you.
Yeah, it's an easy life for Chris Wessling.
It's the job of an analyst.
With the third pick of the second round, the Cowboys took Jalen Smith, Notre Dame, a guy that's not even going to play this year, most likely. The knee injury was so serious in college. But we were told over and over again that this guy has the potential to be a complete stud when healthy. So, to me, it was, and Brandon, the Irishman going nuts behind the glass. Is he a Cowboys fan?
I think he had something attached to this.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that later. Hang in there, Brandon. Sorry, I should have remembered that. This was, to me, a classic Cowboys draft, top of the Jeff Jera draft. They take the running back that everyone fell in love with early in the first round, and then they get the buzzy injured guy. Wes, did we like the move?
Well, I think the one thing that I got out of this was Ian's report that the Cowboys doctor did the surgery. So they know more about him than any other team. So that makes sense to me. Do you trust that more than Jerry's penchant for swinging for the fences? Because this guy could be the best player in the draft or never play a down of football.
It's well said. And I also think that it's a study in the fact that there's only two or three teams in the league that could make this move without being worried about your boss coming down on you. Jerry Jones is, along with maybe the Patriots and Belichick, one of the few teams where the GM is empowered to swing for the fences like this.
His team.
Well, but I mean, would David Caldwell want to take this chance? I think maybe he would, but the ramifications are too rough for most GMs.
No, I mean, Mayock and Jeremiah, they were thinking he would go late third compensatory, and who knows, it might even go further. But it's a guy you had to love the moment. It was probably the biggest moment of Friday and Saturday, I think, just from a football and story perspective of him getting drafted. And for it to be from the Cowboys and a chance to maybe play next to Sean Lee, how about that combination? You love it. And it's a – even though it
for
is
three games a year, that combination?
It is very much a Cowboys move because it's a big splash. On the other hand, you think of the Cowboys as – kind of a win now, we got to do it now type of team, and yet it's really not a win now move at all. It's a let's put this guy on ice for a year and let's see what pays off later. So I give Jerry Jones kudos for doing something that took a lot of guts and take some patience, because you know they're running out of years here with Tony Romo, and who knows, they tried to trade up for Paxton Lynch. It's almost maybe never would have happened, but maybe, you know, the Cowboys probably would have taken him in the third round, because I don't know if anyone else would.
It's funny, they're a win now team that's been to the playoffs once in the past 7 years, I believe.
Right.
I mean, but that is the mentality, and they do go for it year after year. They did it in last year's
draft. I think any team that has a 36-7-year-old quarterback with coming off multiple injuries is a win now team when you don't have another quarterback. Although they did draft him. While we're talking Cowboys, we might as well mention Dak Prescott. A lot of people liked quite a bit taken in the fourth round by the Cowboys. Nice spot for him, at least.
Well, I had thought they were going to take one earlier in the draft, and they tried to, it sounds like. But, yeah, they had to get somebody else in there. I don't know a lot about this guy. But, again, they are in a situation where Romo is going to have to stay healthy. Once again, for them to have any chance, there's not going to be any safety net with them. And they've been, I believe I saw a stat today that they're 1-13 without Romo in the last couple of years. So it's, again,
that's on the GM/owner for not having a better backup.
Yeah, I mean, they have Kellen Moore and Jamel Showers, who I think we're all very, you know, familiar with.
I mean, he is a human, I believe. But you could do all that. You could have this, like, the new Adrian Peterson in the backfield. You could have this game-breaking linebacker. But if Tony gets hurt, nothing matters.
True, with most teams in their starting quarterback.
Most, but seems like the Cowboys more than other teams. And speaking of injury risk draft picks, let's move to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh, the Jags. My own. How about the Jaguars, huh?
I mean, the one thing I think about Jacksonville,
well, Miles first. Jack, who was thought to be a first-round pick, maybe a mid-first round, maybe even top 10 if somebody got really excited about him. He had a knee issue people were concerned about, but the Jaguars went for it. They took Jack with what pick was that?
The fourth pick of the third
fourth
round.
Pick of the third round. They take Jack off the board. And, Wes, tell us now, when you look at this team after their first-round pick, they get the big cornerback. Their first-round pick last year we didn't see. Well, all of a sudden, what do you got cooking there?
Well, I think if you're a Jaguars fan, you get excited about the fact that basically you're getting three top-five talents because Dante Fowler was a top-five pick. He's coming back. Jalen Ramsey, some people thought was the best player in the draft.
People love that guy.
Some people thought Miles Jack was the best player in the draft. So Miles Jack might only play 5 years. Who knows? He might only play 2 years. He might play 12. But I think you have to be excited for all that. And their GM said it well. You have to take some chances. I don't think that you can just sit back and be conservative all the time. And his free agent class allowed him to take some chances because he has depth now.
I mean, I would say that I'm trying to think of another team that in one offseason did as much on one side of the ball to improve every level of their defense. I can't think of another team that it's the combination of the risks they took, where they were in the draft, and their free agency moves. I mean, they're under pressure, but these weren't all desperate moves either. They all fit with Gus Bradley's defense, and that's why I do think that they're an ATN team potential, because there's reason to believe that the defense, which is, what, 31st in the league giving points up last year?
Right.
If it's not better now, it's a Gus Bradley problem.
Well, there's also the...
Well, or we're just overrating Caldwell's move.
Or it could be a football gods problem because the Jaguars seem like a team that struggled to kind of get everything to coalesce in a way that allows it to. And they're taking some chances here. They got Fowler's coming off an ACL. We don't know if he'll be the same athlete. And we don't know if Jack is going to be healthy. I mean, the Ramsey sounds like a stud in their secondary now, but they still need some things to click properly. But on the surface, on draft day or right after the draft, seems like they did a lot of good work.
I mean, they're literally two of the top three players on DJ's board, and I put stock into DJ's evaluation. He had Jack number two. That was the kind of player. And you think of what you want in a 2016 linebacker, it's a guy that can do everything. He can do weak side. He can be a kind of a thumper in the middle. You can have him pass rush. You can have him cover line. You know, you're going to have him cover tight ends and wide receivers. Then you have Telvin Smith, who I think is a really underrated good player. You put him next to Telvin Smith. I mean, they are just very athletic everywhere, and they didn't really touch the offense at all, not only in a little bit in free agency with Chris Ivory, but in this draft, their first four picks were all defense. So, I mean, they just kept loading up defensive pick after defensive pick, and it's up to Bradley to make it work.
To put this in perspective, a year ago at this time, we were saying that basically the only above-average player on that roster was son Derek Marks.
Hmm.
And now he's like the eighth or ninth guy you think of on that defense. They pick up Tashawn Gibson, who's a Pro Bowl safety. Malik Jackson, they give a ton of money to. You mentioned Telvin Smith, Prince of Mukamara.
He's solid. I mean, you have to win, though. And the expectations now is anything less than 9-7 is a bad season. That probably gets Bradley Fowler. But that probably was the case even before this draft in free agency. So you might as well go for it. But they will be seen maybe as the AFC South favorite, which is tricky because the Colts and the Texans are there thinking they're going to make the playoffs too, with good reason. So there's going to be other three teams.
Don't forget about the Titans like that.
I don't think the Titans are going to believe they're the best team.
It doesn't mean, though, when you add all these players, it can take even like 8 weeks of a season for these guys that have never played together, half of them, to gel. That's the risk.
Does ownership have the patience.
I think he's shown
it's that situation. And again, they get out to a 2-8 start and they're out of the mix. And then, you know, you worry about if that leads to a firing, if they have a bad season, they have to reboot the machine. Will they mess this up? But it seems like there's a nice core here. And by the way, the guy that we probably was talked about the least in the second round was poor Henry Hunter, the tight end. The Chargers took a 35 overall. He was taken between Jalen Smith and Miles Jack. Jack went in the second round, 36th overall.
Antonio Gates is a replacement someday, old Hunter Henry.
The second tight replacement.
First tight end off the board.
First we thought it was Ladarius Green that would be his replacement, and now perhaps Henry Hunter. Hunter Henry, excuse me. I hope his middle initial is
H. Squid.
New Triple H. All right, now let's move to the Titans. There you go, Wes. No, forget about the Jets. Those big market teams that Wes doesn't like. Now we're getting into the AFC South. You like that? Tennessee Titans.
Here's an idea out of left field. Forget team of ATL. Division of ATL.
Whoa.
The AFC South.
I can get on board with that.
All right, so let's look at what the Titans did here. And
that would be
changing
the game. I like that.
Well, that everyone would have a little bit of something to like.
Yeah.
Because I think we've proven team of ATL is not going to please all four people.
I didn't like their first pick. I thought they should have taken Tunsil. A lot of people did. Jack Conklin, I don't know about his ability, but they got a big tackle and somebody that could protect the quarterback, which they needed. And then they go and they get Derrick Henry. They have three picks in the second round. Kevin Dodd, a defensive end. Austin Johnson, nose tackle, so they address their interior line. And then they go and get Derrick Henry out of Alabama, who's like known as like a hard downhill guy, and they got DeMarco Murray there. I think we all thought the Murray trade had some red flags to it, but you pair him with a young dog like this, maybe it works.
My biggest winner for the offseason is Marcus Mariota. No matter what you think about Mike Mularkey, and I know everybody doubts him, he's a vanilla option for your coach, but he has a defined philosophy, and Terry Robiskie does too. They're going to play power play action football, and they pick up the nastiest offensive lineman in the draft, put him at right tackle. They pick up a new Eddie George with Derrick Henry. They're a much tougher team, and if you watch them, I watched all of Mariota's throws for our redraft series. You're watching the Dolphins, and Cam Wake's coming off beating the right tackle every single time. You've got Antonio Andrews as the slowest running back in the league, and he's got no one to throw to. And now if DGB is another year older, you've got him. You pick up Rishard Matthews, at least some bigger bodies. But I think it's exciting. They're going to play smash mouth football. They ran mostly last year boot action and run option. And if you're going to do that, you have to have a running attack. They had no running attack. I think it's going to be a much different game.
But why draft the same type of player as DeMarco Murray? You just invested in DeMarco Murray, and you get another
DeMarco
guy.
DeMarco Murray is a 29-year-old running back who was terrible last year.
That's fine, but they just invested in him. Not a ton, but they invested in him. And Henry's a straight-ahead guy who a lot of people didn't think was going to fit on many teams. Maybe he'll fit on this team, but it's not a player that gets you excited.
They drafted for their philosophy.
The most common trait of running backs, I think, that end up making it is someone with a little lateral juice that can make you miss in a hole, whether they're big or they're small. And Henry, there's big questions about whether he has that and whether he's an asset at all on passing downs, which, oh, by the way, almost every down is a passing down in the NFL.
They have Dexter McCluster.
So if you have a guy that you just traded for and you paid good money.
DeMarco
Murray,
also
an
asset on passing.
And then you have a second-round pick, and Dexter McCluster is playing half the snaps because you're always in third and long.
Dexter McCluster is not going to be playing half
the snaps. And that's a problem.
Well, DeMarco Murray's excellent in the passing game.
He's okay. Yeah, that's
fair. He's very good in the passing game.
Well, he wasn't last year. I mean, we need to see what DeMarco Murray is.
DeMarco Murray averaged more than 10 yards per reception.
We need to see what DeMarco Murray is next season.
I know he didn't move that well last season, but also that whole thing was a
mess. Whole thing was
I almost want to just give him a mulligan for the Philadelphia experience and just see what he can do this year. But I like the idea of pairing. Who was the guy that we liked last summer in Tennessee?
They had David Cobb. I like Cobb.
He's big.
He's persona non grata.
We'll look at it as a previous regime because the old coach got fired for the protection, so you're right. And let's not forget, they have Dick LeBeau running the defense. I mean, there is a reason to get behind Tennessee, but like the Jaguars, you got to go show it.
I think their defense,
this whole AFC South.
I think their defensive roster does have more potential than people think. I think it's not a exciting group, but if top to bottom, it's deeper than a lot of defense than you would think when you just think of the Titans defense.
Mark, does it spook you that Dick LeBeau is older than George Burns?
He doesn't seem old to
George
me.
Burns, did you say?
He's not older than George
Burns. Is that a George
Burns.
Burns reference?
Wow.
It's a GB reference.
George Burns was 90 when Mark and I were kids.
By the way, the AFC South, you're not concerned, by the way, that he's an older man?
Well, it's not factual. I'm not going to be concerned with a fact that is not a fact.
George Burns passed away at age 100 in 1996. So RIP, George Burns.
Georgie boy.
The late George
Burns. He was born in 1896.
It's an old dude.
Original name, Nathan Birnbaum.
What were you going to say about the AFC South, Dan?
I was going to say that the AFC South is shaping up, and I can't believe I'm saying this, and it tells you how quickly things change in the National Football League, the most fascinating division.
I wonder
football.
If someone wrote an article about this at the owners' meetings.
Did you?
Probably not.
Were you there?
Yes, I was there. I penned a long feature story about it. Which
the
got
Colts,
me in-
Titans, Jaguars, and Texans. Put those teams in order and how they'll finish right now, Wes. That's a tough question.
Colts first.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to this.
I don't know. This is too hard. Colts
is,
first,
right?
Jaguars second.
Yummy.
Texans third, Titans fourth. But I could see the Titans finishing first, too.
I think if we want to get saucy, you cannot have that. We've got to get the Colts out of first.
I think do not underestimate the fact that Marcus Mariota could turn into be a fantastic quarterback.
Well, it's a great quarterback division in terms of intrigue. Yep. I mean, I want to see what Andrew Luck does this year after what happened
Speaking
last year.
Of mulligans,
I love watching Blake
maybe
Bortles.
Maybe give him a mulligan for last year.
Well, I think we do.
We're assuming, and the Jaguars are assuming, that the Jaguars keep all that offensive progress and keep it going. Like, we'll see. We'll see what Blake Bortles does. I mean, he's a blast to watch. The Texans are the team, I think, that's set up to be a little disappointing. But they had a fun
they
little
added
week,
weapons.
Too. What are you talking about?
Wait, did you just say a blast to watch? Yeah.
Ooh.
That's an old – speaking of George Burns.
Oh, yeah. They'll be a blast to watch. A lot of young kids really working hard out there.
It's like Charlie Casserly was suddenly to my right. Let's talk about the Texans because they're an exciting team and had an interesting draft as well. They load up on offense, fellas. They used their – They only had six picks in the draft, and they focused on the offensive side of the ball. The first four picks, they went with a wide receiver, Will Fuller, out of Notre Dame. I saw that pick was panned in some places. We'll see.
Some people thought he was kind of the one-trick speedster pony right. that doesn't work
and
out too well.
You know what? They say things like that about a John Brown coming out too.
We don't know anything.
Worked out fine for DeSean Jackson.
Right. But I think people, because they were when they had that run.
No one said that about John Brown. Who said that about John?
They said it about DeSean Jackson, though, didn't they?
Sure.
When they
had
that
a fine career.
Run of three wide receivers in the first round, I think the Titans were up first, and they took Fuller. So some people thought Treadwell, and who was the other
wide Josh receiver? Dotson was
Josh Dotson.
On the board there.
Well, I think they already have a DeAndre Hopkins, who's a possession receiver and a red zone threat. They needed to take the top off the defense guy.
Braxton
although
Miller
I would
have
taken two DeAndre Hopkins as well. That would be nice.
Well, they play a different position. Well,
anyway, so Fuller goes with their first pick, 21st overall. Then they go get a guard, Nick Martin, out of Notre
Dame.
Center. So back-to-back Notre Dame guys. And then Braxton Miller, wide receiver out of Ohio State. So two of their first three picks are wide out, so they're determined to give Brock Osweiler some weapons, more weapons. And then with their fourth pick, 119 overall, Tyler Irvin. So they add a running back, which they need to start rebuilding that backfield now that Arian Foster's in the past. Not bad. A totally different look, Wes.
Yeah, I think of two things when I think of what they did. First of all, if you're going to invest that much money in Brock Osweiler, it's smart to give him what he needs to be successful. And the other thing I think is Bill O'Brien's a big winner because we saw him last year resort to smoke and mirrors in this offense. It was gadget plays left and right. He didn't trust his quarterback. He didn't trust any of the weapons to do anything except DeAndre Hopkins. And they go out and get a 4-4 running back in Lamar Miller, 4-3 wide receiver in Will Fuller, 4-3 slot receiver in Braxton Miller, and then Irvin, the running back in space. They just added a ton of speed and playmaking ability.
Right, you got a scat back to pair with Lamar Miller. Thinking about this offense now and all these young players, and Braxton Miller, who knows? I mean, he just started playing wide receiver, what his ceiling could be. Or maybe this shows a lack of confidence in Osweiler, and they think Braxton Miller could be a quarterback.
No, I think Braxton Miller is one of the most inspiring college stories because out for the entire 2014 season, and he didn't get a lot of touches last year at Ohio State, not what some of these other wide receivers that got drafted around him did, but he's an incredible athlete.
Right.
And, I mean, the Texans, if you think about it, they were a committee running back by committee last year, a quarterback by committee, and DeAndre Hopkins still went absolutely off with a bunch of Joes throwing the ball to him.
One of the big losers this weekend is Hoyer. Looking at all this in Houston, look at what they're doing for this guy Osweiler. Meanwhile, I'm stuck, you know, taking a backup contract.
Well, they knew what Hoyer was.
It's almost like he was the inciting moment too, though.
I think
he was.
Absolutely.
He was so bad that the owner's like, "Not. We have some great pieces here, but what we have is not working, and he's the main reason why." Car crash sound.
Epic January meltdown spurns massive contract for Osweiler in draft day splurge.
And it not only that, it changed the course of the Texans and the Broncos, if you think of it. Maybe if Denver keeps Osweiler, maybe Paxton Lynch winds up being the Houston Texans quarterback at number 21.
You're starting to sound like Damashek. This is the NFL.
I like that we have all four AFC South teams going 12-4.
Yeah, something's got to give. That is the funny thing. I mean, we just spent almost 20 minutes talking about the AFC South.
That's
good for them.
It never happened.
But there's a good chance one, two, perhaps three or four of these teams all stink next year. It's possible.
I'm going to say no this time, but I've said that
probably
4 years in a row. So
somebody will disappoint, though. We
sure.
At least one. All right, let's talk about Rex Ryan. You know, there were rumors and whispers that Rex Ryan was out of a job, basically, by the end of his first season in Buffalo, which tells you how disappointed the organization was in the job that Rex did. But you wouldn't be able to tell that based on their drafting. Of course, they took Shaq Lawson, the defensive end, with the 19th overall pick. He's the guy that's supposed to replace Mario Williams. But then their next two picks, they go two more defensive players, and the second guy, or the first guy I'll mention here, Reggie Ragland out of Alabama, he is the most intriguing player here. A lot of people thought that he would go in the first round. There was some type of heart issue. Like Mario Williams had a heart issue, but it was more like, what is not like the, it's like symbolically he didn't have a heart. This guy, Reggie Ragland.
They're like opposites.
It was like, yeah, they're like opposites. This guy actually had a physical
defect. His heart's too big.
Yeah.
Enlarged aorta.
Aorta. So that's how he fell down the board. So the Bills grab him with the second pick. And then they get a man, nice name, Adolphus Washington out of Ohio State with their third pick. Mark, you fell in love with Reggie Ragland in your tape study leading up to the draft.
To call it that is a slight exaggeration, a tape study. But I think
you were honking, though.
If you go watch him, he's just an absolute like old school hard hitter. Rex Ryan loves him. It fills a need for them. The Bills had a good draft, and I think this is the kind of player that if he – does what they think, he could be around for a long time. Well, at least as long as Rex is, so maybe not a long time.
Well, we've recommended the book Collision Low Crossers many times. It's been a while, though. And, you know, one of the takeaways is how much influence Rex had in that draft room, that his force of personality
to a fault
just made him overtake it. And they've drafted a defensive player on the Rex team for seven straight years. This time, as you mentioned, three straight defensive players to start the draft. And I don't know. That's a weird thing to me because should he be running?
I've seen this movie before.
No, he does not know how to run.
This movie before. Do we want to watch the Jets in Buffalo? I don't want to watch that.
But it's a weird thing also for Doug Whaley, who got a contract extension, but it might have just been 1 year. And to me, he's very year to year. And he's pulled an interesting trick. He has not drafted particularly well in Buffalo. He has survived a first-round bust with a capital B in E.J. Manuel. And you usually don't do that. I mean, that was one of the more shocking picks, I would say, at quarterback of the last 5 years. And
it's also oft-criticized pick at the time.
That's what I mean. And it has not worked out at all. But he's managed to survive it, and he's just kind of riding the Rex train like Tannenbaum rode it in New York, and is just going to hope for the best.
Was that the worst quarterback class either? The first two were, I think, 15 overall was Manuel, and then Geno went early in the second round.
It was a zero quarterback class, and invariably someone's going to pump up or overvalue one of them, and the Bills fell for it with Manuel. To be fair, while the draft class have been defensive-oriented, they did go out and get LeSean McCoy. They traded for him. They went out and thought they got Percy Harvin for more than a season. They went and got Richie Incognito, which was laughed at the time but worked out. So, they're addressing the offense, but, yeah, Whaley should be under fire.
They also addressed the quarterback position, I should say, in the fourth round, and it's a controversial player out of Ohio State. There's, like, literally 400 guys drafted out of Ohio State in this draft.
Most players ever in the first three rounds, any college program.
Hubba hubba.
That's pretty good.
Including five in the first 20 picks. Cardale Jones, The quarterback, 6'5", 253. It's a big boy. But he ran into some issues in his later years and maybe some bad game tape. So he is kind of a, you know, that's one thing I won't trust ever, having followed Rex closely, is if they're going to – if any regime is going to take a mid-round quarterback, the chances of him turning into something special are very slim. But I guess you could say Tyrod Taylor turned into something.
Well, they have Greg Roman, which he never really had. One thing about Rex, and we are clear about how we feel about the Schottenheimer Jr., but he never really had an innovative offensive coordinator attached to him. And with Roman – you know, some don't like Roman, but I think he's certainly a better option than
he's
Rex.
He's in your Rolodex.
Well, it's a great,
famously,
it's a great spot for Cardale Jones, who.
When are you going to call him?
I think so too.
Wait. Let's
when am I going to call Greg Roman?
Greg Roman is in your phone. You met him in an airport a couple of years back at a league event. When are you going to get that source?
Who knows? Who knows? He's not texting him all the time.
I'm not texting him all the time. I'm pretty certain that if I were to call him, it's not my name popping up on his phone, just a random number from like Southern California, and it's you let it go to voicemail, and then it's embarrassing.
How stunned would you be if I told you if you call his number on his phone, Quiet Storm pops up?
Well, I think that's just fantasy.
Okay. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say Cardale Jones is, you know, one of the more exciting quarterback prospects in this draft to land with Greg Roman. I mean, that could be fun. I don't know. Would it
12 gauge?
Would it stun you to see Cardale Jones like starting a game in week 14?
Not at all.
For the Buffalo Bills.
Not in any way.
Just making some crazy plays, and who knows?
He'll be 6-8.
Well, Tyrod Taylor does not strike you as an insanely durable quarterback. He's bound to miss a game here or there, and that's your next guy up potentially.
All right. So those are the big storylines out of the last 2 days. So we wanted to hit on each of those, but now let's take a bigger step back. Let's go macro.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. I can't even see you guys.
Yeah.
Now.
Whoa. Afraid of heights, bro.
Good bit.
Winners and losers of the 2016 NFL draft. Go around the horn a couple times here. And we'll get to the go get my lunch props. I know Brandon is like salivating behind the glass. He's like pawing at the glass.
Oh, he's the big winner. He's the big winner.
I promise you, Brandon, we're going to get to it. But first, the winners and losers of this draft. And Mark, let's start positive. Give us a winner.
With a winner, I'm going to go with the combination of John Elway and Paxton Lynch. And
winning.
There you go. Wes, we hit on this a little bit in the last show. And
bring
I was
back.
Talking with a Broncos fan, a close friend yesterday, and he was not really that familiar with Paxton Lynch. But the more that I started to think about this move, and the more he started to watch Lynch, I think there's a reason to be excited about how Lynch fits in this offense. He's going to take time. But also just Elway, to me, has one of the chances behind Ozzie Newsome to be one of the best player into front office leader of our lifetime. I really think Elway is a winner that goes and gets it done, whether it's free agency 1 year or you get into this jam with the quarterback this time and everyone's ready to put him, you know, into some situation where, oh, Elway's finally, he's been solved. Elway is in a fix. He's backed into a corner. But
he's
no,
in a fix, see?
He went out and he got, I think, what you can talk all you want about the top two quarterbacks. Lynch has a chance to be a very interesting special player if it works out for him. And the Broncos solved their problem. They're not going to have Mark Sanchez for long. I believe that.
Well, he's in the best spot of any of the quarterbacks.
He's in a great spot.
We do not know that they solved their problem.
They addressed their problem. Teams all over the league have burning needs, and you come out of the draft as a fan, and you're like, please draft this position. Please draft this. And they're going everywhere else, and you're thinking, what happened over the last 3 days?
Like the Denver. Browns and quarterback? Well, I guess they did draft a quarterback.
But that's fair. A lot of Browns fans feel that way, so you're right.
They
Jets and quarterback.
We talk about, oh, don't draft for position, draft for need. Well, you cannot argue that John Elway definitely drafted for position here because he was left in such a bind by the Osweiler situation.
He did. Sometimes you have to draft for need.
I'll say this, and I agree. I know you, Mark and Wes, definitely are higher on this than I am and perhaps Greg as well. If Lynch
you
turns
two are
into
higher.
A star, if Lynch turns into a star, no, I'm not. Elway will be untouchable.
Absolutely.
In terms of when you look at
executives. I got news for you. He's already untouchable. Yeah.
No, I mean in terms of when you – historically.
If it works out, then it's like, wait a minute. This guy is Ozzie Newsome 2.6, and he's even better than Ozzie
Newsome.
Exactly.
If this works out. We'll see.
But again, you go for it and you address it.
That's for sure.
He's not
king of the football world.
He just
right
won
now,
the
right
Super Bowl as an executive. If he has a bad career as an executive the rest of the way, the fact that he got the Broncos another exclamation point championship off the ones that he won in a player, it's a, it, his his statue is made.
Right, one last thing. He didn't sit here and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to spin for the next 4 months that we're excited about Mark Sanchez as our guy, and we have no other
answer. I
hope
he wouldn't do that. I mean,
but that's a situation some teams are in at that position.
It was a little bit desperate, though, right? Like scrambling to trade up to get this.
I don't think Elway has ever come across as desperate.
It didn't seem desperate at all to me.
Okay. We'll see. That, you know what, Greg? I say it a lot. This is what I love about sports. We're going to see what happens.
We'll see.
Sports you do love sports.
You also say sports are important, like just in terms of the fabric of the country.
Yeah, it brings us together. Even when it seems like it's tearing us apart, it brings us closer. Wes, why don't you give us a winner or loser? What do you want to do?
Well, a lot of my winners we've already covered. I don't want to go too in-depth on the AFC South. How about the international game of American football? Moritz Boehringer becomes the first player from an international league to be drafted into the NFL.
That's exciting.
That was
Dan was all over this story.
Ritz.
That was my only winner actually, but that's okay.
No, you take it.
That's fine.
You take it. Well, how about we
yes, this will be a
joint forces.
Winner. Here we go.
We don't need to own it. You can. There's lots of winners.
Yeah, we're sharing this one.
I got like 10.
Mine was a little broader. I said Germany was the winner, so much so that I went on YouTube and found German pop music. Mm. So everybody enjoy this a little bit. Let's listen to this for a couple seconds. Deutsch. 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 Natürlich hat ein deutscher Wetten das erfunden. Anyway, so
bring back Pon, please.
Yeah. Underneath
just a note, Dan, you were downstairs in our newsroom. He was falling in love with this song for roughly an hour, blast singing this and scaring the bejesus out of a new photo girl that we have in our office that doesn't really know Dan.
Was she frightened?
She was extremely scared of what you are.
If we're ranking international pop, J-pop right now on the podcast, number one, Germany is behind.
Wait, turn it up again. I like the chorus.
In last place, no matter what else is out there.
I kind of like
this song is called Deutschland, which is Germany. That's
thank
the translation.
You.
And the name of the song is called, well, not everyone knows the language, Die Prinzen, which translates to
Die Song.
Oh, the song is called Deutschland. It's called Germany. Die Prinzen, I believe, is the princes.
This is fantastic.
Die Music.
They are known as the Aerosmith of Germany.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. We've got to go down to the coast and find this on the jukebox.
You guys don't like this?
It's terrible.
Now, Wes. I can't tell if Dan's being ironic or not.
No, I actually, it's kind of it's a fun song.
Oh, my God.
Then again, I also sent Dan a video the other day of what's the NFL Network's theme for the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And he called them, I really like this. It's like an updated Collective Soul. Like, that was a compliment.
A little bit. Yeah, they had some good songs. Anyway, so his name, Wes, what was it?
Moritz Boehringer.
What a great story. And he was on the Move the Sticks pod earlier this month. He, 5 years ago, he knew nothing about football. He was just stumbling around on YouTube and happens to click into a Adrian Peterson highlights video and is so taken by Peterson's talents that he begins to train. He gathers a group of seven guys in Germany. That's his first team he was on. It was just seven guys. They practice. He ends up, he's a big 6'4 guy, speedy wide receiver, strong. He ends up dominating the German Football League, which is the highest level of football in Europe, apparently, and comes to America on Leap Day, February 29th, for people scoring at home, and blows away everyone in the UFA, I believe it was, Pro Day, and Florida Atlantic Pro Day, excuse me, and then gets drafted by the Vikings, the very team that he fell in love with. He became a Vikings fan after Peterson. Nice story.
I got to spin one loser off of that exact narrative because it's an excellent story. And if you were watching the draft coverage, you know, it was Mike Mayock, our in-house guru, Svengali draft individual, who like picked up the phone literally because they had Mo Bo or whatever his name is on the set, and he told Mayock, I would love, or and Daniel Jeremiah, I would love to play for the Vikings because of the whole Peterson thing you mentioned.
Yeah,
Mayock gets on the phone. Calls up the Viking, calls up Zimmer.
Well, he appealed to the television first.
Right.
And then Zimmer called him.
Right. Zimmer called him, and then like 2 minutes later, and something that is, you know, something that would have felt a little bit unbelievable in a movie script, bang, the Vikings draft him. And here's the loser. Because our in-house European man, Henry Hodgson, Ooh. Has been lobbying for this guy for months and months. And it should have been Henry that gets the most credit for making this happen. And he gets he's invisible. He's not even
Handsome
on the
Hank.
Scene. Handsome Hank.
I mean, he literally is right there with Moritz and showing him around today. This was a thrilling moment. Henry's helped really promote
Greg.
Boehringer gets him on the move the sticks. This was a big moment.
People like to get credit, Greg. I don't know if you're aware of that. And
we're giving
Henry
it to
deserves
him.
More credit. Mayock stole his spotlight.
Ooh. I like that. Mayock basically looked into the camera and told the Vikings to take Boehringer, and then they took him. A little weird, but, you know, I'm happy for the guy. Deutschland. All right, give us a loser, Greg.
A loser? Okay. Yeah. I've got a lot of both. Let's say Connor Cook. He was supposedly in the mix for a first-round pick, although I don't know if anyone really ever quite bought that.
Wait, you're calling him a loser?
Well, he's not
They're
a loser.
Losers.
He had a bad weekend. He's not a loser.
They're losers. They're just losers.
That's the GOP front runner. A good chance that man's the president, Donald Trump.
He got drafted into a spot where, at best, he's a backup quarterback. And when you go up against Matt McGloin, son, you know, you might not come out of that battle looking too good. Matt McGloin Nation
I like McGloin.
Has been stepping up for a while.
I don't know
if you remember. He was the preseason MVP in 2013.
The Raiders compared him to Jeff Garcia.
He's looked pretty good.
Played on Thanksgiving Day a couple years
whenever
ago.
Whenever he plays. So, you know, basically he's going to be a number three quarterback, which is fine. But he's stuck in a long-term backup situation. He didn't go as high as he wanted. And he's going to be remembered as the guy who just was questioned forever. Why aren't you the captain of your own team when you're a quarterback? Didn't have a good weekend.
It's fair. Mark.
I have two laser losers, which means they'll be quick. One.
Whoa.
Kaepernick, not just Kaepernick because of this whole Kaepernick thing. He's stuck in a city he doesn't want to be in, a team he doesn't want to be with. But all the people that had to write about Kaepernick in this ridiculous drama over the last 3 months where, in the end, it's completely stationary and he goes nowhere. Waste of time. All right, number two, laser loser. I'm sorry, Greg. I got to do this.
That's a Trumpism.
I got to go here. Greg Rosenthal.
Wow.
Big loser this
week. Whoa.
And I'm going to tell you why. And it's not going to appeal. You're not going to like it because it's not logical. I just have a feeling that this weekend, the events of this weekend, we just talked about a whole nother division rising out of the dust. That the NFL scenery is changing. And I can feel it. The Patriots are about to take a major dirt nap. And you,
I like the sound of that.
Say, oh...
Oh, no.
Why would that make me the loser?
Exactly, because Greg is hiding behind this psychological veneer saying that he's excited to see the Patriots collapse so he can enjoy a losing type of season. But when the reality sets in and it's really happening, it's going to absolutely body rock your entire view of the universe when you have to attach yourself to a loser and a team that's going to be mired in a 3-decades-long slump. They're going to psychologically switch existences with another team this year.
Wait,
and
what?
You're going to have to ride it out.
Which is it, though? Dan always says I don't have any actual feelings for the Patriots.
We're going to find out.
And
you're rolling
fan.
With them into the dark that? Side. You're going to go through the long night with New England. It's going to be 3 decades long, and we'll find out when you're 62 how you feel about the Patriots then.
You're a little hot and cold as a fan. Like, sometimes you're a little indifferent, and you take your step back. And then sometimes I can really see, like, the New Englander in you, and you're a super hardcore pattern.
If they get close to a title, yes. But they've had enough success at this point. What more could you ask for?
But what do you say to what Mark Sessler here is that he believes something almost inexplicably.
I can't explain it. Yeah. It doesn't – the Patriots.
You didn't like the Jacoby Brissett pick, the third-round quarterback?
Well, I didn't like some of the shenanigans that was occurring during their announcing their picks. Got a little hubriotic.
Oh, my gosh. I totally disagree. I would say Kevin Faulk is a big winner of the week.
What a winner.
What a way to do it.
That was so awesome.
He hides the Brady jersey. He welcomes the cheers.
Stood there like Superman.
And then he has you know, Tom Brady drafts their pick for him. That was
great.
You're
going to railroad a guy who should get a $25,000 fine and turn him into a fourth.
It was terrific. And
I
speak, I think, for a Patriot fan.
What is
happening? Kevin Falk moves up now my all-time Patriots rankings.
He moves up my all-time human rankings to number one.
Right.
What did you like about it so much?
Winning.
What did I like about it?
Yeah.
Because Brady's been railroaded all along. I like the support.
No, I know. I know.
Thank you.
I mean, I get it, Mark and Dan. You guys love rooting for the NFL against the Patriots. But, you know.
No.
Not true.
In this case, Kevin Falk's making a statement about a teammate and a guy he loves. How can you not respect that? So he passes Ty Law. He's not going to go ahead of Troy Brown.
Wait, let me write this down.
Yeah, he passes Ty Law. Troy Brown's still ahead.
Troy Brown.
I believe Malcolm Butler's third right now. But Kevin Falk up to number two, all-time Patriot.
Let me just say
that. Where's Tom Brady in that?
Well, he's just in his own category.
Here's the irony and the thing that makes me laugh about the Patriots and what a joke this organization has been with the Tom Brady stuff with Deflategate. They did not have his back. With Deflategate, they did not go to the wall for him.
All right, give me a specific example of what you wanted that they could have possibly
They should have went after the league instead of Robert Kraft saying he was going to take the sanctions and just deal with it and hope it goes away. They should have went after the league all the way. And now that that's out of the way and the horse is out of the barn, now they send guys out with jerseys. And then when the draft starts, they don't have a first-round pick. They change their Instagram to a Brady jersey.
They did start an entire website.
We are all Brady. Brady strong, hashtag. It's like, dude, I know the dirty secret is that you did not have his back.
What about the website that's solely dedicated to burying the NFL that's run by
little,
the Patriots.
Too little,
which
too
is
late.
Bizarre that it still exists.
That's
that
true.
That ever existed. What is happening with that?
Dan, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Say Chad Pennington was a four-time Super Bowl champion. This happened to him, and Wayne Chrebet went out there with a Chad Pennington.
I would love it. I'm not.
Of course.
I don't have an issue so much with whoever this Hammenegger was. Who was it again?
Kevin Falk.
Kevin
probably
Falk.
The greatest third down back of all time.
The issue I had is the Patriots continuing to be sycophants with Brady when they actually did not have his back in reality. All right, let's throw out, but I'm not. I'm okay with Greg. I'm okay with you being a fan of like certain guys you had loyalty to.
You've got like five more months to enjoy it.
Yeah. I'll throw out a big winner. RG3. I don't even think he has anybody competing with him. How did this play out this way?
Well, Josh McCown's better than him, so he's going to have to compete.
Is McCown going to be on the team?
That's a good question.
This is not how I thought this was going to play out. You know, you thought they would come out of with this new regime in town that they would the RG3 move is a little surprising, but then you say, okay, well, they're going to get a rookie, and RG3 will be the keep-the-seat-warm guy, and maybe you get a year or two out of him. Instead, we're heading towards football activities with this guy as their starting quarterback. He should be pinching himself because I don't think anybody saw it playing out this way. It's very dangerous, Hugh Jackson, what he's doing here, in my opinion. But I didn't see this coming. Big winner, RG3.
Well, not only that, they get four wide receivers. They literally drafted four wide receivers, including Corey Coleman. So not only is RG3 a big winner, how about the Browns receiver coach, Al Saunders? I mean, he's got a lot to work with.
Sonbaum?
Yeah. All of a sudden.
He's still in the league?
They took 14 players. 14 players is a lot of players. That's the most the Browns have taken since 79 when they had 12 rounds. So this was their strategy to just load up on rookies, and we'll see. I mean, not everyone can make the team, obviously, but you give them a shot, see who sticks.
Yeah, I mean, and to your – and I, you know, you, Wes, do you want to speak on this because you were not hot on them missing out on a quarterback also?
You made some good points.
Well, they did take a quarterback. They took
but not
Cody
someone
Kessler.
That people are excited
but
about.
But they're excited about it. DJ sure. said they thought about taking him in the second round, which stunned
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson's exact words. He's also a guy that the mountains moved for RG3, but he said that you guys got to trust me on this one. He thinks that they unearthed like a gem.
Well, I tell you who doesn't trust him, a USC graduate down on our desk, Andy Hageman, who basically said after they drafted him, perfect pick for the Browns. He doesn't read coverages.
Right. I mean, Cody Kessler is not a guy that, you know, made a lot of fans as a USC quarterback, I wouldn't say, or got a lot of people overly excited about him. But Hugh Jackson liked him. I have a theory, though, on all of this after seeing Cody Kessler. It really solidifies to me that the Browns were going to take Goff, that they were higher on Goff. Because
certainly
Cody Kessler is a very B-minus-minus-minus version of Goff. And if you're thinking that, I mean, Goff and Wentz are very different quarterbacks, and that really kind of scrambled, you know, what they were going to do.
I think they wasn't just take any quarterback up top.
Right.
And that in where I was,
you should be lauded for that.
Right. And you asked, because a week ago I was saying, I don't want to miss out on the next Big Ben, but that was in a vacuum where I had no concept of what their plan was. And I think there's still probably in general, Cleveland's in two camps. It's the camp that says, wait a minute, we've missed out on every quarterback. How could you possibly do it again? And they're going to judge this draft and this plan by the fact of how Wentz does and everything that happened. But from another angle, now that I see what they've done and the amount of picks they've accrued over the next couple of years, I do like one thing. They said, we've got to build this team from the ground up. And the last time they put a quarterback, a first round one or two pick out with a team of this roster of this quality, it was Tim Couch, and they ruined his career. Mm-hmm. These people didn't do that, but I think they want, you can build a team in a number of ways. And what if you watch that war room, and we had a raw feed of it, they are all on the same page. It wasn't Hugh Jackson sitting in the corner pouting. He got a lot of the picks he wanted. They're working in unison. That's completely different than the last five front offices.
You couldn't say we've heard that before.
That's why I think that you could call Browns fans the losers, because every time they get a new regime in there, they have to convince themselves and repeat this, the mantra, we got to give this new regime a chance to show what they're doing. We got to give them a few years.
So you're right, but a year ago,
the last four or five regimes, and the fact is you still don't have a quarterback.
A year ago, you talked about the fact that it was good they had an owner that kept changing coaches because you weren't sticking with a bad one. Now,
I did?
Yes, you did. And one thing I would say is that you're right. Browns fans have been losers they haven't won a playoff game since New Year's Day 1995. It's been nothing but. I think this does feel different to me, and you've got Browns fans in both camps. Some will agree with you 100%. Others believe in what's happening. You got to wait and see.
I like Mark's optimistic about the Browns. I'm not glowing optimism,
but I think they have a plan, and they stuck to it. There's no
optimism.
Question about that.
But you believe in Sasha.
It wasn't they followed through with what they said they were going to do. And that's
a lot of picks.
We'll find out.
Then again, who else, you know, made almost as many picks would be another one of my winners, the Ravens. 13 picks, five in the fourth round, which is outrageous. I mean, they had 8 picks in their first 5 rounds. I think Ozzie Newsome looked at this roster and they said, we got some problems. We need to rebuild the middle class of this group. They took a lot of players, and they're all big Ravens type of players. So I'm throwing them in the winners. How about that?
Mind if I pick a winner?
Please.
Go ahead.
Piggybacking off of Mark, has Greg Rosenthal's loser. Dan Hanses, draft loser.
They're losers. They're just losers.
This sentence came out of his mouth before the podcast started about an undrafted punter. This guy just saved the Jets draft. were serious.
No, he was not serious.
I was not a fan of the Jets draft. I mean, we don't have to spend a lot more time on the Jets, but me and Matt Sawicki, who works downstairs on the desk on the network side, we were both calling for this punter out of Utah whose name
Tom Hackett.
Sawicki showed me some tape of the guy, and I was calling hard. We were both calling hard for him to get selected. The Jets did take a punter in the seventh round. It was not Hackett, but then they signed him immediately after the draft. So perhaps, I don't know, I'm not saying that I influenced the Jets. I'm just going to throw
it out
there.
I think you did.
You have sway.
Yeah. Well, I retweeted from the Around the NFL account, which, by the way, at Around the NFL. Lightning round losers for me, Wes, and then I want to hear another one from you. Laremy Tunsil and the Dolphins, their press conference the day after the first round was a disgrace. Come back to us, Gloria Stefan, because they initially tried to get him out of the mix entirely to avoid his own introductory press conference by saying he had an allergic reaction. And I know there's a lot of people that said you cannot besmirch the Dolphins by saying that they were making that up. And a lot of people were saying, oh, it really was an allergic reaction. You got to get him out there. Push back the press conference because it looks really bad. And then eventually he did show up at the press conference. So they essentially had two media availabilities. And I think it's part of the reason was Twitter was blown up at them.
Lightning winner, Bears front seven. Mm. They hit on Eddie Goldman in the draft last year and Pernell McPhee in free agency, and that allowed him to build around those two guys. That's your framework. You sign Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Then you draft Leonard Floyd as your bookend edge rusher to McPhee, and you draft Jonathan Bullard in a third round as one of your defensive ends, this front seven is remade in Vic Fangio's image.
Lightning loser, new Chiefs quarterback Kevin Hogan out of Stanford. This is how Charles Davis described him at the beginning of a sentence. In some ways, he's Tyler Palko.
Yeah, some
that's
of these,
not good.
Some of these draft comparisons when you go on NFL.com.
Late round pick, but.
It's not a flattering. Not
I'm going to throw out one more winner while we're at it. The New Orleans Saints, I like their first three picks. Apparently wasn't that popular in New Orleans, but Sheldon Rankins, man, they needed someone reliable on their defensive line. I like what I've seen out of Michael Thomas, and they certainly need a wide receiver. And then Von Bell, a rangy safety, certainly a position they need. They got some athletes in their first two rounds. Unfortunately, that makes a loser adding Von Bell out of someone that we – it's really close to our heart.
Jairus
Byard. Oh, no.
Jairus Byard.
You look at the player comparisons on Von Bell's page. It's Jairus Byard.
Well, Bird set his own table. I got a laser loser. Do we have one
laser,
second?
Yeah, sure.
We don't talk about this team much, but the Falcons, I thought they came into this draft with an absolute need to get a pass rush. They have no pass rush, and they did not address it up top where they needed to, and that way it was clear to everyone that was their goal.
I think they have a chance to drop behind the Titans on the boring rankings.
Got a point.
Keanu Neal's not doing it for you?
Fine. All right, so that's it. Winners and losers of the draft. Before we get out of here, let's check in on Go Get My Lunch, you giant turd of doom, because we did have props all through the draft. And why don't we're not going to bury the lead here. I mean, I think it's time for some celebration music for the Irishman, Brandon McInnes, because guess what? After an 0-19 slump by producers on the show, finally a winner, the Irishman, said that Notre Dame linebacker Jalen Smith would go in the first two rounds. And guess what? We all took him up on it. He said, no way it happens. And he went early in the second round. The floor is yours, Irishman. Congratulations.
Way to go.
It pays off to have faith in people, you know. And I had faith in Jerry Jones that he would do something stupid.
Wow.
You know what? I just appreciate him, even though four sandwiches to him is like a cent.
Wow, four sandwiches.
Literally, you have sandwiches for the better part of a week.
I'm over 500 now.
We could put Sessler as a Lightning loser. He somehow didn't even play the game, and he's down a sandwich. 0-1.
Well, and I changed
he's
my
got a winning percentage of zero.
Answer. I changed my answer, which is a disaster. I'll never do it again.
I didn't just do this for me also. I did it for K. Rich, Gold Standard, Sid, TD, all the ones that weren't able to get over the 500 mark.
The Irishman chewing the scenery, but we'll give it to him. A big victory for him. I'm sure your mom will be proud of you about this one if she listens to the show, because you did something historic.
I feel good.
Yeah. One other before we get into the standings. Sheck had, when last time he was on the show, he all in on a prop that Peyton Manning would have a front office job before the NFL draft.
Possibly the worst sandwich prop of all time.
This would be a game that Sheck would struggle at.
We got to get out of here. Spurs Thunder just started.
All right, let's wrap it up then. By the way, the standings, according to Nick Fortier at Go Get My Lunch, I went 8-6, Greg 8-9, Colleen, nice start on Friday, but finished 7-8, Wes 6-9, and Mark the 0-1. we'll go through them real quick. Wes.
It's like I got an ACL tear in week two or something.
Titans trade up and pick in the top 10. You nailed it, Wes.
Well, that's one I got right.
Yeah. Well, there weren't too many that got right. You had.
We each got one right.
Josh Dotson in the first as the first wide receiver drafted. The team that takes Ezekiel Elliott, you have the Giants. Paxton Lynch gets drafted within the top 8. That didn't happen.
None of us got Elliott, which is too bad because he went to a pretty popular
sitting right
team.
There. Yeah, we should have. I overthought that one. I should have taken him. Greg, you had no trades involving the top 10 picks in the draft.
Wow.
I believe there were two.
That yeah. Plus, that was stupid. What a weird thing to read.
Very un-Greg-like.
Yeah.
You had
opposition.
Elliott to the Bears. You had got one right. The Broncos trade for a quarterback that's not Colin Kaepernick. They did. This is a little bit controversial, Mark, correct?
Well, I think we give this to Greg. But yeah. there was, you know, it comes down to wording and technicalities. But in the spirit of it, Greg got it.
Lawyers got involved.
Right.
Yeah, lawyers
Greg got
involved.
It right.
He did. They traded for the pick, and then they used that pick to take a quarterback. So we'll give that one to Greg. And he had DeForest Buckner is drafted third overall. That didn't work out, and Tunsil messed up the whole lineman situation beyond that. For me, I had the Cowboys draft a quarterback. This is why this game's so hard. You could even have the right hunch and still not get things right because the Cowboys tried to trade up for Paxton Lynch and couldn't get him. I said they'd draft a QB within the first two picks. They didn't. I had the Browns won't draft a quarterback within the first three rounds. Browns took a quarterback with a 31st pick in the third round. I said Elliott would go to the Giants. And then, again, I knew the Texans wanted a wide receiver badly. But Corey Coleman didn't last. I said Coleman would go to either the Texans or Bengals. So I got that incorrect as well. Colleen Wolf, six Ohio State players are drafted in the first round. After 20 picks, five Ohio State players had went, which was a record, but the six never landed. A bunch more went in the draft, but no more in the first, only five. She lost that. She nailed 49ers, picked twice in the first round. They traded back into the first round, so she won three sandwiches there. She had Elliott to the Browns. And the real – this is where this prompted Fresh Fish during the show.
Fresh Fish?
Yeah, because she was a newbie to the game. You don't like to do hyper-specific. She had Steven Tulloch gets traded.
Where does that come from? She played quite well, though. I mean,
She was close to cleaning up big
Very games. Close to having a monster game, but she did well overall. So that's what's going on. And as Nick points out, a nice little fun fact, Greg, you'll see here. Ever since my 2-14 disaster in the draft last year, I've now won the last three rounds of Go Get My Lunch. Come at me. Come at the boss.
Wow. No, I wouldn't. In fact, I would argue that maybe Colleen just replaces me in this game because I am an abomination.
You would like that too much, so we can't.
I know. This is like Greg's like go get Wes's toast or whatever it's called. This is my version of that. I don't even want what the prize is.
It is a tough game for you, Mark. All right, that's
it. Win Wes's lunch.
That's it for the draft recap edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We'll be back at a time to be determined next week, but you will hear from us soon enough. Until then, you'll have two draft podcasts to chew on while all the other quote-unquote football podcasts out there, everyone else is out at a bar right now or, you know, sitting on their hands or watching NBA playoffs. We're here doing the good work, the Lord's work.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. Let's get out of here. Let's watch some basketball. This is Dan Hansis signing off. For the Quiet Storm. The mailman. The boss. And the Irishman. Deutsch.
All right, it's growing on me.
Till next week!
Vielen Dank für die schönen Stunden. Wir sind die freundlichsten Kunden auf dieser Welt. Wir sind bescheiden, wir haben Geld. Die allerbesten in jedem Sport. Die Steuern hier sind Weltrekord. Bereisen Sie Deutschland und bleiben Sie hier. Auf diese Art von Besuchern warten wir. Es kann jeder hier wohnen, dem es gefällt. Wir sind das freundlichste Volk auf dieser Welt. Eine Kleinigkeit ist hier verkehrt, und zwar, dass Schuhmacher keinen Mercedes.